it. Boy, oh boy, big day, a lot of news. All right, let's get Tire Tom in here. Here he comes, Mr. France.
Mr. Je suis fatigué, John.
Je veux très manger jambon fromage.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Fais-le ma bouche. All right. I guess we need to make this big announcement. Do this right now, Jacob. Take care of the code word, the big thing people keep telling all the other radio stations, shows here, Cairo, like, oh, listen to the Tom and Curly show. Give me a little bit, give me some music underneath this, make this seem like it's more of a big deal. Can you get a sort of sports music to really sort of vamp this up, to really make it seem like we're doing professional radio? Because those other radio shows are telling people to listen to this. Okay, that's real sportsy. Sean listens. Sean watches a lot of sports.
When you give me 30 seconds, it's hard, but let's see what I can do, John.
No, this is good. This is good. Hey, everybody, don't forget. Seahawks code words coming up. A chance to win four tickets. That's right, man. That's right, four tickets to the Seahawks home opener coming up on the 19th of September. Hey, don't forget. What's that, Tom?
Catra. En français, four is quatre.
Okay. And don't forget, nothing beats cheering on that team in person. On game day, there's a single ticket. You can get one for the 2021 season. We've got tickets to the Seahawks coming up. Your chance to win four beauties think you died and went to heaven. That's right, four tickets to the Seahawks home opener on the 19th of September. Why do I sound like Don O'Neill? That's also you get your chance to get season single tickets as well. It's 2021. All my friends in the quad, have a good time. Seahawks season is starting, and we've got your big code word. We're going to be giving you that to you at what time, Jacob?
3:33.
Nicely done, Sean. Way to drop the music out on him. All right. That's all that. We have to take care of all that. And let's take care of the fact that the president, who I refer to now as President Magoo, has decided that he's going to use the full force of the federal government. Because come on, I can do this. And I'm coming after you if you haven't gotten vaccinated. What percentage of Americans are still holding out that we need to really screw them over, Tom? How many? What's the total amount?
I think he said about a third, 80 million, I think.
80 million.
And 80 million is a minority.
Well, wait a minute.
But it's a dangerous minority.
Now, hold on. Is that 80 million that could be vaccinated? That doesn't include the kids. That's 80 million holdouts, right?
Yeah. Well, that was the implication, at least. I haven't checked his numbers, John.
He's coming after you.
My job as president is to protect all Americans.
That's right.
So tonight, I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing.
That's not really his job as president, but anyway.
An emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees.
You know what I'd do right now if I were one of those employers?
Fire everybody up to 99.
There you go.
That together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week.
Okay.
Some of the biggest companies are already requiring this. United Airlines, Disney, Tyson's Food, and even Fox News. The bottom line.
Why does he say that?
Because you listen to much Fox, most of those guys are anti or talking against any kind of rules like this, any kind of mandates, business or government.
But Fox News, they are vaccinated. The people there at Fox News are getting...
Yeah, apparently that was news to me.
They're not against the vaccine. They're against the federal
government.
The
mandate that there's a vaccine, and apparently their company.
But even Fox News, not right, they're encouraging and providing for it. But anyway, a little nice little shock from the president. Mr. Magoo?
Yeah.
We're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers. We're going to reduce the spread of COVID-19 by increasing the share of the workforce that is vaccinated in businesses all across America.
Okay, so it starts out a long time ago we get the vaccine, and then you had the people that jumped on board, right? Those are the consent to those, the reasonable consent. They get in, they get it. Then the second group was, we'll give you stuff. We'll give you free stuff. We'll give you $1 million. We'll give you college scholarship tickets, this, that, that, to get the next group in. Now, the next, this is coerced consent. This is, they were going to force you by jab or job. You're going to either lose your job or you're going to get the vaccine.
Already, I've announced, we'll be requiring vaccinations at all nursing home workers who treat patients on Medicare and Medicaid, because I have that federal authority.
There you go.
Tonight, I'm using that same authority to expand that to cover those who work in hospitals, home health care facilities, or other medical facilities, a total of 17 million health care workers. If you're seeking care at a health facility, mm-hmm. you should be able to know that the people treating you are vaccinated. Simple, straightforward, period.
Full stop. Did he say no joke, Jacob?
I don't remember. Sometimes he peppers it in, though, when I'm not paying attention.
I'm signing an executive order that will now require all executive branch federal employees to be vaccinated. All. And I've signed another executive order that will require federal contractors to do the same. If you want to work with the federal government and do business with us, get vaccinated. If you want to do business with the federal government, vaccinate your workforce.
Okay. Is that all from the president? Did he have anything else to say? No? Yes? Jacob? I can't see if I have it on my computer. Any more?
Oh, yeah. There's more.
Oh, here's more. Here we go. Wow. Long speech from it.
I'm removing one of the last remaining obstacles that make it difficult for you to get vaccinated.
Okay.
The Department of Labor will require employers with 100 or more workers to give those workers paid time off to get vaccinated. No one should lose pay in order to get vaccinated or take a loved one to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that really was holding people back. Wow, he had a lot. Message for the unvaccinated. Come on, you.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this.
Yeah.
What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see?
Yeah.
We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine is FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot.
Yeah.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. Mm. So please do the right thing, but just don't take it from me.
Yeah.
Listen to the voices of unvaccinated Americans who are lying in hospital beds, taking their final breath, saying, if only I'd gotten vaccinated.
Yeah. Okay. You talked about booster shots. There is some problems with that. Message for 12-year-olds. Oh, this is people with kids 12 and under.
Now, if you're a parent of a young child, you're wondering, when will it be the vaccine available for them? I strongly support independent scientific review for vaccine uses for children under 12. We can't take shortcuts with that scientific work. But I've made it clear I will do everything within my power to support the FDA with any resource it needs to continue to do this as safely and as quickly as possible. And our nation's top doctors are committed to keeping the public at large updated on the process so parents can plan.
Okay. Will they eventually force parents to inject the vaccine into their children? Did he answer that question?
We've made so much progress during the past 7 months of this pandemic. The recent increases in vaccinations in August already are having an impact in some states where case counts are dropping in recent days. Even so, we remain at a critical moment, a critical time.
Mm.
We have the tools. Now we just have to finish the job with truth, with science, with confidence, and together as one nation.
Under God.
Look, we're the United States of America.
This is where we can do
nothing,
anything.
Not a single thing we're unable to do if we do it together.
Except get those guys out of Afghanistan.
So let's stay together.
Yeah.
God bless you all and all those who continue to serve on the front lines of this pandemic. And may God protect our troops. Get vaccinated.
Oh, did the quiet voice. Okay, so I guess this is it. What I was trying to figure out, what power does the federal government have to force a private employer?
Yeah, that's what's interesting. So you have OSHA. OSHA can force a private employer to play by certain rules.
Right.
So I think, so what we were all expecting from the president was this idea about all federal employees, yeah, and all contractors, that it was going to be mandatory vaccinations, and they were taking away the offer they made a few months ago, which is, or you can just take a test every week.
Yeah.
They dropped that. And that's, so the surprise to me was that, yeah, he is actually going to try to make this kind of like an OSHA rule that if you have more than 100 employees, that you have to be vaccinated, and he does give them the option of being tested once a week. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be the angle in which they can control it. OSHA does have some legitimate rules over private companies' dealings, and if this is under the rubric of OSHA, that may be how he can do this.
Yeah, but I know OSHA has rules when it comes to, you know, the ladder and the safety,
right,
and you got to wear this mask and have this thing on if you're working with these types of chemicals. They're involved in, yeah, all this. So the federal government, I guess through OSHA, will say that you, and what force does he have? What will he do? Is he going to fine private employers that have 100 and they don't? They're not able to do this? Mm-hmm. Will there be any way out on it? I just read a bunch. I was just trying to figure, where is it that the federal government can come in, and what would stop the federal government doing this again in other regards, that comes in and says to the private employer, you must do this, a mandate that the federal employer must do something. So, but it's interesting. I'm sure someone's going to challenge it, but to stop it, or at least to be able to challenge it in court, or have the Supreme Court listen, or somebody will. But it's got to be a private. But the other thing is, you're going to have to show damages. So the private business, whatever it is, the ABC plumbing company's got 300 employees, or has 300 employees, and they would have to show some sort of damage if they were to do this in order to try to stop it. But this is to hold out the last few holdouts that have not gotten the vaccine. The big question is, what happens next? Now that the president has said this, do you think they cave? Do they take up arms? Do they protest some way? Do they quit their jobs? Do you believe that this is the final piece of power that the federal government has that will cause people to comply?
Well, I mean, that's a two-headed question. Basically,
yeah,
is this as much power the federal government has, which it may indeed,
the federal government always has guns. Every single law you end and the federal government ends, every single law ends with, and a gun can be pointed at you, because the federal government has the power to make you do things that you don't want to physically do.
The Trump administration. He is not going to go to the military to try to enforce something.
I don't remember Trump doing that. I remember Roosevelt doing that, rounding up Americans and sending them to concentration camps. But in this case, he's not the president anymore. We're talking about President Magoo, who's in there. Will the government, as it is now, run by somebody other than Joe Biden, whoever's in charge, telling him what to read, do they then come around to the House? And do they then get you and grab you? And do they inject you? I mean, that's the full force of the government is the full force of the government, that they have the power to do that.
Okay.
No, they won't do that.
Because even in this, and this is the hardest he's gone after the unvaccinated. It's like OSHA, you have to get vaccinated if they're more than 100 people, or you can be tested once a week.
Uh-huh.
Those are the conditions of employment.
Uh-huh.
So there's not going to be any military involvement. And this is going to be putting pressure on the businesses.
Right.
Now, I assume what's interesting is that there a lot of major corporations have already, put these mandates in effect within their own companies. Even Fox News, I hear. They'll be just like the barber up in Snohomish County. I'm sure they're going to be companies that have more than 100 employees that will feel like it's their God-given right or their duty to oppose. And so that'll be more of a kind of a judicial a battle. Right. But whether, so anyway, you asked the question, and I said, yeah, so this might be, I think this is as far as the federal government's going to go at this stage. But will that then get people to change their minds? Out of that 80 million unvaccinated, I keep hearing about a quarter of them aren't really, you know, they're not, you know, shaking their fist at the government. I refuse to do anything you tell me. Uh-huh. So there's still, if you get 25 million of that 80 million to go eventually go along with it, because it's, as he put it, free, safe, and convenient, that might be enough to get a stranglehold on the COVID issue.
Well, or stranglehold on the individual that's holding out. If the person decides not to get it, and then they get tested, I guess the good news for them, so they're not vaccinated, they go to work, they get tested once a week, and they come back and the test shows positive. Congratulations, you've got COVID. Now you sit at home, and then you probably have to quarantine people you came in contact with or whatever.
10 days.
Now you get a chance to sit at home, you go through COVID. If you don't have comorbidity, it might just be the sniffles, it could be a cold, it could be 3 days or 4 days. You could take ivermectin, which new research comes out that shows that it actually does help. Maybe you end up taking a whole bunch of stuff, and you're like, well, maybe you missed it, Tom. We'll send you the story, you can read it. Joe Rogan, and you get over the thing in 3 days. Here's the best news for you. You now have immunity. You now have the antibodies that your body has produced. So at this point, here's the question for somebody would be, now that you have the antibodies that you have produced on your own after going through COVID, which is a study that comes out of Israel, shows that maybe that's even more effective than the vaccine. So then, do you still force that person who had COVID, has the antibodies, now do you force that guy or woman to get a vaccine?
Well, my understanding is, unless there's something new today, that whatever immunity you built up isn't as strong as the vaccine. And with the vaccine booster coming around the horizon, my hunch is they would still recommend that. But whether it's required or not, I don't know. At this point, they're not saying anybody who's had it and or anybody who's vaccinated, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm aware, they're talking about, you know, get your vaccination.
I see. All right. Well, the study, I should send it to you, out of Israel, it's being peer-reviewed now. They say that people that got COVID, their antibodies are actually stronger than the vaccinated.
Okay, well, that may be a new development. Yeah.
That's the great thing. You know, it's the science and the news. It's changing and learning stuff all the time. I'll send you the ivermectin study, too. It's interesting. Okay. All right. Tracy Taylor, looking at traffic for us. All right. Kiel Mortgage, 1-888-778. KIEL, Laura Kiel, and everybody there. Boy, they answer the phone in a few rings, and they say, Laura Kiel Mortgage, and you refinance that house of yours. Look out, interest rates are starting to go up on mortgages because inflation's starting to go up. Got to squeeze some of that cash out of the economy. So get in early before you miss the opportunity. All right, let's see, Tom. Behind Enemy Lines comes back again today as the Seahawks kick off their season against the Baltimore. Wow. Sad day. 2 o'clock in the morning, the Mayflower giant moving trucks, Tom, in the dead of the night, early in the morning, they went over there to Baltimore and they loaded up all the equipment and snuck out of Baltimore. And did you know for the longest time, people in Baltimore would not hire a Mayflower truck?
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't blame them. Good for them.
I know. In the middle of the night. Come on. And off they went to Indiana. So we play the Colts on Sunday. Colts have not won an opening game since 2013. So
is that right?
We go behind enemy lines. Plus, we also have those tickets to the Seahawks game. We're going to be giving those away. Look for the big secret code word. Which
right
comes
now,
up?
John.
What, now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
3:33. We're making the big code word announcement.
Okay, let me then. How about this one? Let's do this music. The Seahawks are taking on the Indianapolis Colts. That's on Sunday. But when they come back home again, you want to be there. We've got four tickets. We've got four beauties for you. And there is a code word that everybody here at Cairo has been talking about. And the Tom and Curly Show have that code word for you now. All you have to do is what, Jacob?
Head to mynorthwest.com/win and enter the code word touchdown to be entered to win.
Wait, you buried the headline.
To be entered to win four tickets to see the Seahawks host the Titans on September 19th, as you suggested.
And here comes that code word now.
Touchdown. At mynorthwest.com/win.
Again, if you...
Yeah, sorry. Code word expires at 11:59 p.m. tonight.
Yeah.
If so don't try to put it in by
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
You'll have another chance to win tomorrow in the 8 a.m. hour of Seattle's Morning News. Details and rules at mynorthwest.com. /win. Touchdown!
Touchdown! What's the code word, Jacob?
Touchdown.
Wow, it took three of you. That's,
yeah. I know. It's a very complicated yeah. It's a very complicated contest. Oh, we have no more time for the rest of the stories. No, let's talk about the fact that Amazon is going to dangle in front of people a new perk. And a lot of corporations have this. I look to see Starbucks and McDonald's. They're all offering this for you. It's basically they're selling you the sleeves out of their vest. I don't think many people will go ahead and sign up for this. But the Wall Street Journal says, hey, guess what? If you work at Amazon, we'll now help pay for your bachelor's degree.
So you sniff at that offer. You think it'll have no movement.
Well, they need people to work there.
They do. Right. They've hired tons of thousands of workers, and they want more. Right. And they realize that $15 a minimum wage isn't enough. Mm-hmm. And so they need to come up with other ways to lure them. And one of the things is they say that they are, and again, this is this is marketing language too, but they're looking for aspirational employees. Oh, yeah. One of the things they're concerned about, it's one thing to get somebody to hire, find somebody to hire, but then to keep them. Well, one way to keep them, sort of like golden, handcuffs mm-hmm. idea at the warehouse level is to offer them college education. So as long as they are working there, mm-hmm. they get credit toward a college degree. A lot of associate degrees they've already offered at the community college level. Now they're expanding it to 4-year colleges. But I mean, there are restrictions. It's not like any university. It looks like a lot of online schools and specific things. Like I think Arizona State is one of the places. It's not like you can go anywhere and everywhere and they'll pick up the dime. But it is something to assert. So that their employees will stick around longer. And I see that generally as a good thing. Your suspicion is that no one who's working in an Amazon warehouse has any interest in going to college or...
Right. You know, I mean, they're working in a warehouse and they can't get people. So they're adding something in there to try to sweeten the pot. Yeah. This reminds me the story of Henry Ford. Walks in on a Monday, big stack of orders. He turns to one of his foremen and says, what's going on? Why aren't we getting these cars out there? They said another group quit yesterday. And Henry Ford at that point slams his fist down and says, pay people $5 a day and send the word out across the United States. And the guy was gobsmacked. $5 a day? Are you kidding? Yes, it's an 8-hour workday. You're going to get off on Saturday. Tell everybody. Word spread across the United States, and people were coming from all over in order to work for Henry Ford. Why? Because the job prior to Henry Ford's $5 an hour was miserable. Americans had never experienced this before. Put this wrench on that bolt and turn it. Next one comes by. Put the wrench on the bolt and turn it. Turn it. Keep turning. The wrench keeps going by. Bolts keep going by. And the people are like, this is mind-numbing and horrible. I hate it. I can't stand it. And they'd quit. They're quitting in droves. When Henry Ford said $5, everybody wanted to work there. Why? Because they would put up with the drudgery and all the rest of stuff for the $5 a day. You have to do that. Amazon is going to have to say, you know what? Screw it. $25. We'll give you $25 a day or $25 an hour. That's going to get you $52,000 a year. I hope you're happy now. Here you go. You get to work in a warehouse. And then when I go ahead and buy some vitamins or something from Amazon, I'm not going to pay just whatever I pay. There's going to be an additional cost put on there in order for the stuff to be delivered on time. They're going to have to keep upping the ante, and they'll find that this thing is not enough. They offer you this because this gets a break from the government. You don't have, this is not income. It doesn't have to be taxed.
Yeah.
It's put off as an expense onto the business. They can help on a write-off. It has to be straight additional money to the person that could possibly think about working in the warehouse. $25 an hour.
Yeah. Well, good. In fact, that's the counter to this. Oh, yeah. If you're so generous, Amazon, you really want to lure people. Why don't you just give them the money that would be spent on a college education and give them the employees the actual money? So, yeah. that would be ideal. This is for the employees. This is a version short of that to see if they can use it as a kind of lure. I also heard Aaron Mason this morning on our air talk about why he's sort of against this, even though he's in favor of education and all, is that he thinks if private companies move in to start promising this, that would be give the government hesitancy to get involved themselves. And being a kind of a Bernie supporter guy, I think Aaron likes the idea that government should pay for anyone who wants to go to college, and this kind of interferes with that. But short of that, which seems kind of utopian thinking, you know, to me, short of that, I think it's great if people are, I think there are a lot of people, John, that would be willing to go to college if it was cheaper or more convenient or, you know, more easily handled. And maybe working in the warehouse would convince you that, yeah, maybe this isn't the end of the road. One of the interesting companies they mentioned this are the meatpacking industries. The meatpacking industries, you know, it makes sense. Walmart and Target, they're offering that. Meatpacking industry is doing the same, and they're extending it to dependents. Because they say, you know, there are a lot of people that work in meatpacking factories, and they're proud of what they do, but they think their kids ought to have more options than they did about ending up in meatpacking, and they're happy to support that. I think that seems all well and good if the companies really follow through and or the employees really follow through on this offer and really do get a college education or a degree or a trade school.
I'm going to go ask Sean something. Sean, I'm coming downstairs.
Yeah.
How much would we have to pay you to quit the job you have now and work in Amazon at a warehouse?
At an Amazon warehouse for the rest of, until I retire?
Well, and you know, whenever.
You would have to pay me $1 million.
Okay, thank you.
I usually sell myself short, so I decided to sell
I can't
my,
hear
my,
you.
Myself tall. Today.
I can't hear you. I went back upstairs.
I wasn't talking to you.
Tom, I, yes. I was just downstairs talking to Sean.
Yeah, what do you have to say?
He said he wants $1 million to work.
$1 million bucks?
Yeah, yeah.
An hour, right?
I don't know. I don't. Who cares? I walked out of it.
I can hear you.
I can hear you too.
Tracy Taylor looking at traffic for us.
All right. Here we go. Don't forget,
behind enemy lines. I'll try something different this time, Tom.
Oh, yeah? What's that? It's been so successful all these years.
No. We're going to do the regular thing where you say goodbye with the horse and everything. But I realize so few people know who John Facenda is. I used to struggle with my John Facenda and all that music. So I'm going to steal something from ESPN's 30 for 30.
Oh, you are, huh? Okay. That's a hipper reference.
Yeah. Yeah. I got that from my kid, who, by the way, is listening right now in the car, driving up here to hang out and have dinner with his old man in the club. So. Taking a day off from Home Depot. I don't know why. All right, let's see, Tom.
Hey, maybe you can go to college.
All right. Hey, the SeaTac or Alaska Airlines gets diverted because some people were not behaving themselves when the flight attendant said, put your mask up. Five people altogether. The thing stops off in Juneau, and the police step in. The number of people that have been getting in trouble on airplanes because the flight attendants tell them, put your mask on between sips and bites. It's like, ay. Well, anyway.
No, wait a minute. Are you taking the side of the disruptive passengers?
I'm just saying the ridiculousness of between sips and bites. That's the thing that normally pushes people over.
Well, apparently not in this group, because according to the Seattle Times article, they were part of a bigger group that got kicked off the plane before they even took off.
Ah.
And then they let like a handful of that group that were not acting boisterously. I'm guessing they were drunk. I don't know what else they might have been. But anyway, then the five, after they got, they kicked the other ones off the plane, five were allowed to get, you know, on it. They fly, and then once they're in the air, then at least one of them starts all this belligerent activity and, you know, yelling and threatening crew members and guests and all, you know, other.
Yeah.
So it's like this was a bad group of people, you know, I mean, bad in terms of, you know, being boisterous and disruptive.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that they were set off by some overweening attendant.
No.
It sounds like they were in a mood to rumble.
Right. I got it. I'm just saying what I've noticed is but you hear the people when they're like, and we're going to ask you to put that mask on between bites and sips. You can hear people go, oh, God. Like, it used to be,
so
you would get something to eat. You'd pay the seven bucks for whatever, and then you take your mask off, and then you slowly enjoy it. You slowly, you're just sucking the air out of that Pepsi or that Canada Dry, and you're just slowly, because you're like, I don't know, with the mask back on, and as soon as this little bite of cheese goes away, I have to put the mask back on. Then they started saying, between bites and sips, put the mask back on. So
okay, well having just been on a lot of planes recently, I can speak where you normally you have the floor. And I'm gonna. There wasn't a problem with that. There wasn't concern on the steward's part about it. Most people just did properly. They ate and they put. You know, I think that you can milk it if you want to, but most people, I think, were pretty respectful, and they would eat their muffin or whatever, and then they put the mask back on. And it wasn't so, the picture that you were painting earlier on might have been the case earlier on now, I think, at least given the thousands of miles I just flew in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think things have settled down. People seem to be having no problem with it. And if it's the one thing I do notice is not so much taking advantage of the eating and drinking business, but the masks under the nose. That's kind of like, I think, the one cheat that a lot of people do because I gotta get the so. And by the way, I didn't see a single
person. How full was your flight in France? Were you flying? Would you fly Air France?
Oh, it was packed. No, Air Icelandic.
Oh.
And it was packed. It was packed. I mean, everything, you know, the Paris Metro was packed. Everything is packed. So there are plenty of people flying right now.
Yeah.
I don't know how many flights have been, cut back because of the pandemic. But there was no, the TSA lines were long, like everyone was warning us. Mm. We got there early. But, yeah, it's busy, busy at the airports that I went through, at least.
Fly from Seattle to the Netherlands and come back. Round trip. Guess how much?
$400.
Stop.
No way.
Yep, $400.
Let's go, John. You and me. We'll broadcast the show.
We're all going.
Wait,
let's see if Sean. Sean coming with us? Sean?
Yeah, Nether Regions.
Wait, what?
Netherlands.
How can it be that? How can that be true, John?
I don't know, Tom. I'll send it over to you. Okay.
Can you book the tickets and let us know?
Yes, I'm doing that. Okay. Just not when Sean's coming with us, though.
Got it.
Keep you in the other region. All right, Tracy, here we go.